You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Stevie Nicol. We kick things off in the Premier League. The big game, of course, at Anfield. Liverpool taking on Manchester City. And what a match this turned out to be. Goalless in the first half. City dominated, couldn't convert their chances. And then it just exploded into life after the break. We saw Mane open the scoring, Foden with the equaliser. Salah, they're making it 2-1 after, really, James Milner should have been sent off, but wasn't. And then Kevin De Bruyne scoring with 9 minutes to go, meaning it finished Liverpool 2, Manchester City 2. And what that means? Well, it means that it's pretty much as you were at the top of the table. Chelsea, of course, top after that victory against Southampton on Saturday. Liverpool second, City sitting in third. Well, let's welcome in, shall we, Nader Manua and Craig Burley to reflect on that game at Anfield. Craig, this was a match, particularly in the second half, that was just for a football supporter in general, brilliant to watch.
Well, I thought it was brilliant to watch in the first half, but not if you're a Liverpool fan, because they were so dominant, Man City. I mean, I would call them sublime with a short passing and a long passing, the way they stretched Liverpool, the way they popped it around Liverpool. But unfortunately, and we saw it in midweek and we've seen it before, all that great play has tended to fall down in the penalty box where it all matters, and that's exactly the same again. So obviously Liverpool were going to we thought they might have made some changes at half time, particularly at right back. He didn't. I think that's to do with personnel and the injury problems that he's got. So Milner went back out, was better in the second half, as were Liverpool, and you're right, it was a great game in the end, but we just saw that highlight there. That's downright robbery and criminality, that a player can just dangle a leg out. Listen, everyone knows a cynical foul of any nature is a yellow card. And just because James Milner is on a yellow card, and just because James Milner's played X amount of hundreds of games, doesn't matter. And the City manager was right to be enraged on the touchline, because these decisions, or lack of them, are game changers.
Yeah.
Because it's hard enough playing City with the way they play with 11 men, never mind down to 10. So this was a horrendously bad decision by the referee Paul Tierney, and of course VAR can't check these things.
Nadim, do you think, as Craig mentioned, because it was James Milner and he's not that type of player, is that why he got away with it?
It was not that type of player. James Milner's picked up a lot of yellow cards throughout the years. I don't know, I think maybe the fact that, like, the home team, it's happening to the home team, maybe that makes a difference. I'm not saying it's solely the Anfield factor, but as we said earlier, the only person that didn't think that was a yellow card was the referee himself. It seems so obvious, and I'm so surprised that Milner would do that, given the fact he's on a yellow card. Like, to just dangle a leg, it's exceptionally lazy defending, and it's the type of thing you do maybe, as I say, if you don't have a card. So I think he's gotten away with murder there, but I'm surprised. I bet he would have been expecting to be sent off, but at the end of the day, the referee got it wrong, and, you know, because the game finished 2-2, people would be able to move on. But if that was more decisive, then I think we'd have been talking about this for a whole lot longer.
Craig mentioned, Stevie, the fact, obviously, that City was so good, so dominant in the first half. What changed? How did Liverpool approach that?
I actually don't think they approached it any differently than how they approached it the first half. Because in the first, say, 10 minutes, if we're generous, Liverpool were harrying, they were pressing, they were getting the ball off City. And so I think that's all that happened. They just got a little bit closer to them.
Right.
Because in the first half, they couldn't get close enough. And then, of course, when the first guy is too far away, then it's like a domino effect. So they couldn't get anywhere near City. So, plus, you've got to say, they couldn't get any worse in the second half.
Right.
In the second half. And that's just a fact. They were better, but I'm not sure they were significantly better. I think probably it was a lot more to do with Manchester City weren't quite as good with the possession as they were in the first half, as much as Liverpool actually changed an awful lot.
I think, obviously, the big factor was a certain Mo Salah as well, Craig. What a second goal that was.
No, we talked about him with Stevie at the end of the week, how he in particular bangs his head on the wall watching him sometimes because the ball's bobbling off him and he's losing it and everything's super fast. And then he does something that's just magical. And I mean, his stats will back everything up in terms of the goals, but special goals like that. And he can be having, he could be heading for the hook. He could be heading for like an early bath and a substitution with some of his performances. And then he does something like that and you think, wow, where did that come from? But interestingly enough, and also Mane's finish. Mane's been guilty of being wasteful in those positions last season and early this season. But actually, to go back to the change in the game, Klopp talked about it after. He said, look, we were too harried, we were too panicked in the first half. Not only did we not get close enough to Man City and we sat off them, but when we got possession, we panicked and we tried to go forward too early and they just mopped it up and then it came back and it was wave after wave. And Liverpool a little bit more, they weren't great, but they're a little bit more careful in the ball second half. They got a couple of extra passes in and so they were able to retain possession a little bit better. And I think that's why they were able to get themselves back in the game. But we should also mention, guys, as bad a mistake as it was not sending off James Milner from the referee, what about the Cancelo attempted challenge? I mean, on Mo Salah for the first goal on the halfway line. I know managers that would take a player off for a challenge like that or an attempt at a challenge. I mean, all he's got to do is try and defend goal side properly. And he turned his back and he almost tried to backheel the ball out of play. I mean, João Cancelo is a fantastic footballer going forward. But it's moments like that that must just super frustrate his manager.
Just going back to the Salah goal, Nathan, defensively, how difficult is it to try and stop someone when they move that ball so quickly?
Yeah, as soon as someone like that gets ahead of steam, you're very much on the back foot. And what happened to Laporte, do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Lionel Messi against Jerome Boateng at the Camp Nou a few years ago. Because if you're not tight enough, then they're going to have their way with you. They're so good at being able to manipulate the ball and change direction based on where they think that you're going to go and where you slightly lean this way or lean that. And for Laporte, he's gone big trying to stop Salah from scoring with his left foot. But before you know it, you're on a highlight reel because he can go both ways. But I think as Craig was alluding to there, though, you expect more from Cancelo and so on. Because for someone like Salah, if you dive in, it makes it so easy for them. But overall, I think Cancelo played well. But it is those moments, as he says, which can be so, so frustrating. Because I think he's capable of being able to make it harder for people. So, yeah, Salah, absolutely incredible. You guys spoke about it on Friday. And, yeah, I'm going to have to walk back something I said. And he would definitely get into the City team. No questions asked before anybody else in that Liverpool side for me.
Shall we talk about Grealish again, Daniel?
Well, I just want the last thing on Salah, and then I want to talk about Jack Grealish and Phil Foden, in fact, okay, from the City perspective. 18 months to go on Salah's contract. You get that sorted as soon as possible, don't you, if you're
absolutely
Liverpool, Stevie?
You kidding? Is there a hotter striker in the world right now? I'm not so sure there is.
No, exactly. It was exceptional today and very much kept Liverpool in it. Craig, of course, you mentioned Jack Grealish, and this is someone that we've discussed a lot and for good reason, given that City spent £100 million on him in the summer. Once again, it's fair to say he didn't play like a £100 million player, did he?
Yeah. I just want to say before I pick up on that, there's three teams have stuck their head above the parapet, Dan, with a clear plan, and that is City, Liverpool, and Chelsea.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think we're seeing that those as you know, a clear idea of what they want to do, good games and bad games. But Man United are a team of cobbled together stars, and that's what's kind of we're seeing early on. And whether United are able to hang on to the coattails of these teams, Liverpool going to draw with City without playing particularly well. But going back to Grealish, yeah, I mean, clearly the lad is a very, very good player, right? There is no doubt about that. But this is a very unforgiving game. It's a very unforgiving league. And also, it's a very unforgiving manager who just wants results. Now, he played more central today, but he's on the periphery of games. I mean, you saw, I'm not seeing enough from him, anywhere near enough. And that's why he got dragged again. He got dragged in midweek. You look at the influence of Foden, who hasn't always played this season, had a poor summer. You look at Bernardo Silva, we talked about him with Nedim late on in the week. You look at that run he had in that first half. I mean, it was Messi would have been off his chair at that Bernardo Silva run. And then there was the end pass to Foden, which Foden should have taken first time, right? These guys are all doing things, doing special little things within games. I've really yet to see that from Jack Grealish, and I think his confidence must be taking a little bit of a dent at the moment, because this is a big step up. He's walking into a dressing room full of superstars now, and when you're not performing, you go home, and it takes its toll. Now, he's not been terrible, but Man City, they need people to be not just less than terrible. They need them to be extremely good, like David Silva was for them, almost an 8 or 9 out of 10 almost every week. And unfortunately for him at the moment, I think he's coming close to being left out.
Guardiola has to look after him, though. You know, I don't think we're the only ones that have figured out that Jack Grealish hasn't quite been at his 100 million best. Mm-hmm. His manager has to know that. So why are you playing him out of position? Why are you playing him in the middle? Yes, he's got ability, and yes, he's a good player, but he's not a centre-forward, and he doesn't play through the middle. He's way better wide. So Guardiola has to look after him.
But why, he wanted Phil Foden to run it.
Why don't you put him on the other side, Craig? You know, his position is coming. His best position is coming from a wide area. Generally, it's the left. Now, if you want to stick Foden on Milner, and you still want to play Grealish, then you play him on the other side. Right, you're telling me he can't play on the other side? Instead of that, you play him through the middle, which is alien to him. And listen, at the end of the day, whether he goes for 100 million or not, he's still like the rest of us. When you're not playing well,
right,
you start thinking about it. So the price fee makes no difference what he's getting every week. But to play him out of position, I think, was a big mistake.
Do you agree, Nathan?
I think we can look at this in sort of like a wider context and say that I think in some ways it's a great show of confidence in the manager to be able to play him in these three big games that they've just been involved in, and he hasn't been anywhere near his best. But then I'd also argue, as far as this season goes, neither is someone like a Kevin De Bruyne, but we're not really throwing as many eyes on him. But, you know, I think Grealish, he can do more, he can do better, but this is a test. He has to realise this is the standard now. You look around you and the great players everywhere, and he has to learn, for example, what it is to play in that sort of like false nine role. Because you look at someone like Phil Foden, he's done it. Someone like Raheem Sterling, he's done it. And if you want to be in the team, you have to be able to play in more than one position, understand the game and how it works out for the side. And to be fair to him, defensively or whatever, I know it's for £100 million, it's not the best thing in the world, but defensively, I think he's been part of there as a collective and they've not really carried him from that side. But in terms of going up, going in attack, he'll know himself he can do a lot, lot better. And I think these moments, this sort of level of exposure to the toughest games possible, I think in the long run it will benefit him. And as it stands, maybe the PSG game is not really costing City too much at the moment.
In contrast to what we saw from Grealish, I thought Phil Foden was great to watch today, Craig.
Yeah, and you know, Phil Foden went into the Euros, looking like he was going to be the first name on the team sheet, and he was until he didn't play particularly well. And then the Euros all went a little bit wrong for him. And again, we think about these young guys as nothing bothers them. Well, it does, because they're human beings and your confidence takes a knock. And so, yeah, I think his manager clearly will have been speaking to him like he does with all the players and say, listen, I want you back to that Phil Foden of last year and what you were doing. Let's think about your game. Let's get you back on track. And that was more like it. If you remember his performance at Anfield last year, it was absolutely out of this world. And that was, it wasn't quite as good today as that, but it was, and obviously he's up against a James Milner who was exposed. And so that makes it a little easier. But there are parts of his game, you know, that in the first half, he could have taken that one first time because he's good enough. And we saw in that strike in the second half just how good his left peg is. But that was, I think from Guardiola's point of view, that was great to see him back looking kind of like his old self, because when he's on full form, he's fantastic.
You've been steadfast in your support of Guardiola, and not necessarily a striker is needed, considering, of course, they won the league without one last year, Nathan. But that first half did highlight, didn't you? You think that Foden chance that Alisson, of course, came out and smothered, the Kevin De Bruyne header that went way over the bar. If you've got a striker, a real number nine in those situations, City are 2-0 up at half-time, aren't they?
Not necessarily. I think we talk about things in a perfect world. Like every striker scores every time they get a chance and every ball drops to them in the box. Like, let's be clear, that's not the case. I understand what people are saying, but it just feels just that little bit different. Like, even this weekend, you guys are going to be talking later about the fact that PSG have every attacker in the world available to them and they don't have a shot on target. Like, this is, like, football is football. We can have an idea of what will work, but it's never a guarantee that will work. And as far as the sort of City thing goes with their forward line and so on, like, they've scored two goals and we're saying they should have scored more. I would wager that probably no more than maybe two or three teams this season will score two goals or more at Anfield for the rest of the year. So, at the end of the day, I suppose they'll take the point and just know that they've got tons of players around who are capable of scoring and they don't need to rely upon one guy in particular.
How much of an Achilles heel is this going to be, though, Craig, going forward?
That's the big question. I don't know is the answer because, let's not forget that he's not available at the moment, but Ilkay Gundogan had his best ever goals tally from the middle of the park last year. So if that doesn't repeat itself, and the likes of Raheem Sterling who come off the bench, and you know the other guys, Kevin De Bruyne doesn't have as good a season, although he did score today. If these midfielders don't chip in, it's going to put an awful lot of pressure on one or two of the other guys. So it's hard to tell because City do get themselves in so many good positions. But you know what we do know is that you can't keep doing what they did to PSG and Liverpool and not put the ball in the back of the net and get away with it. Because like Liverpool today, they got better as the game went on. They were more clinical in their chances. And then it took a lot of guts for City to come back and win the game. That takes its toll. So, I mean, we were asking this question last year of them, Dan, without a striker. And I think this will rumble on all the way through to sort of March or April this year.
Just to tie a bow on this, Stevie. Whose title credentials improved today?
Listen, I agree with every single thing Craig said. But if you were to ask me what team would you like to play in tomorrow, I'd probably say City.
Right.
I mean, they have completely... You know, the three teams that we think are going to be fighting for the Premier League title, Manchester City being one of them. The other two, Manchester City, I've just given them both of them a lesson in how to pass the ball.
Correct.
So, you can't go against City for that reason. However, it gets old and it eventually starts taking it out of you when you have to win by a goal when you're dominating it. Anybody can, you know, this has not happened once this season already. This has happened two or three times to them in, what, eight or nine games? You can't go through a season having to put that amount of effort and commitment in. You need some real easy games.
Right.
And when you've got a recognised goal scorer...
They've won by big margins already this season.
Yeah, but I get the feeling
that this is just going to continue, regardless of the opposition.
Go on, Craig.
No, actually, I think, if memory serves me right, a few of the games last year were not won by bundles of goals. They were won by good defending.
Yeah.
They weren't blitzing teams every week last year, so maybe we'll see that again. But just to go back to Stevie's point, he's right. I personally still think City are the team to beat. We can argue about they didn't get a striker, they didn't get this, they didn't get that. As Stevie said, right, they went to Chelsea, put a marker down big time. They've gone to Anfield today, drawn the game that I thought they should have won, and the referee certainly didn't favour them. Put a marker down big time. Completely. They had Jurgen Klopp couldn't wait to get in at half-time. He was sprinting down that tunnel, and he admitted it after. And also in defeat in Paris, and we know it's not the greatest PSG side because they've been beaten again today by Rennes, but they completely outplayed PSG for most of that game. Now, they didn't win it, but they've put a marker down to say, look, you know, we are going to be the team to beat. We're going to probably dominate you. And, we'll take our chances without a striker. But, yeah, Man City are the guys to be shot at in the Premier League for sure.
Still title favourites for you, Nadim.
Yeah, I'd have to say so. I think we've seen a good version of Liverpool, very good version of Liverpool this year. We've seen a very good version of Chelsea at times this year. But I think for me, the key difference is when you look at Liverpool and say Chelsea to a certain extent, Liverpool are really good, but it feels like there's a certain level of dependency on, say, Salah or Mane to really step up and consistently score, for example. Whereas for City, I think it's the sum of their parts which makes them great. And when they have people coming off the bench like Sterling's, people coming back from injury like Gundogan and alike, I think that's the type of thing for me which makes them favourites. But it's not by a lot, but that's what it is for me.
Craig and Nadim, thank you very much. More from the boys on Extra Time when they answer your tweets. As always, you can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
It's a big shock there as Espanyol beat Real Madrid by 2-1. Let's get some reaction now from the Real Madrid camp, shall we? Gemma Soler caught up with Carlo Ancelotti after the game.
Yeah, I think we were sleeping but almost of the part of the first half, and we conceded a goal, and after that the game became more and more complicated. We tried to react after the second goal, but what was too late. We scored a goal, we had opportunities, but I think that we... It's the beginning of the game that we missed. We needed more intensity in that part of the game.
It's the third game in a row that you are not able to win. It's something physical, psychological. Maybe the defeat against Sheriff had something to do today?
I don't know really what. I think it's not physical because at the end of the game we were good. We lost some dynamic in the game, in the last two or three games. We had difficulty to score, where we where the game in the past we scored a lot of goals. So it's a period, and I hope that with the international break we will be able to be back at the best.
What an amazing player, Karim Benzema, top scorer, top assister. He's in an amazing physical state.
Yeah, he's doing well. He's doing really well, and still... really important for us is score a goal, but was not enough, unfortunately.
Are you worried about the team now, the international break, these three deceptions?
We have the possibility with this break to recover the players that are injured, and so we can use this time to put them in the best condition to have a better squad in when we are back.
How concerned should he be, Stevie?
Well, I think he should be concerned. He actually started pretty much with a 4-4-2, which I can't remember the last time they did that.
Yeah.
And he had Vinicius Junior inside. Now this kid, and just recently playing from a wide area, has been sensational.
He did nothing in this game, did he?
Well, he clearly isn't comfortable in the middle, and it wasn't until half time when he changed it, and he went wide on one side and Rodrigo went wide on the other, that this team sort of looked like Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Now, he's talking about, you know, they're making chances and they're not scoring. That can happen to any team. But when you've got a defence as poor as theirs, I mean, Militao and Nacho as a pairing, if you just want to take this game, we're horrendous. You know, just making basic errors. You know, as a defender, you can't overcommit. You have to be safe. You got Nacho on the second goal, completely overcommitting and getting nutmegged. Militao, starting positions are horrible. He should be cutting the first goal across the 6-yard box. In my opinion, he's the one that should have been there to cut that out. So, you put all that together, a team that's struggling to find the net, a team that can't defend properly and are losing goals, then you got a problem.
Yeah, and the problem is that it's just that momentum. Of course, they start the season so well, and they're just labouring, particularly in front of goal as well, like lacking the chances. And as you say, you're conceding silly goals as well. You're in this sort of position. International break, maybe, as he says, will give them the opportunity to breathe going forward.
Yeah, sometimes it gets the cobwebs out.
Right.
You know, as much as playing well and then that international week comes and you're going, oh, no, it's going to upset the rhythm.
Okay.
Well, it works the other way as well.
Yeah.
Because if you're having a stinker, sometimes it's nice to just get rid of everybody and when they come back, refresh and start again.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Another action-packed day in Italy. Some big results, no more so than Napoli coming from behind to beat Fiorentina to maintain their perfect start to the season. Elsewhere, Roma beat Empoli by 2-0. And AC Milan winning away against Atalanta by 3-2. Let's just take a look at how that affects the table. Well, Napoli, 7 games, 7 wins, 21 points, 2 points clear of AC Milan, who have just dropped, of course, those 2 points throughout the season so far. Inter in third. That win for Roma keeps them in fourth. Well, let's welcome, shall we, Gab Marcotti to the show. Gab, we've got to start with Napoli, haven't we? It looked on the brink whether or not their perfect start would continue, but they came from behind to get that win.
Yeah, Fiorentina, a tough nut to crack this season. They have a great manager. They've got Vlahovic flying. And, of course, they took the lead against Napoli. But Napoli were patient. They picked their spots. They missed the penalty through Insigne, then later converted, and then got the win off a set piece nonetheless. Mm-hmm. This team will not go away. They can beat you in many different ways. Fully deserved. Perfect this season.
How excited should we be getting about them, Gab?
You know what? I have a natural skepticism towards Luciano Spalletti because he is one of those geniuses of football who many times gets things completely wrong and ends up being his own worst enemy. I would expect him at some point, if history is any indication, to fall apart. But you know what? People also learn, and they learn from the past, and maybe he won't fall apart. He certainly has a very talented squad. He's doing a phenomenal job right now. Napoli as a club and as a city, I think, have hurt themselves in the past, and it seems set up for this to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. And until it happens, all you can do is look at the talent they have, look at how well they play, look at how well they're drilled, and say, man, these guys could go all the way.
Elsewhere, Gab, obviously we're excited earlier on in the show about Manchester City against Liverpool, end-to-end stuff. That was replicated, wasn't it, in the late game in Italy. Milan against Atalanta, both teams really going for it.
Yeah, well, you expect Atalanta, of course, always go pedal to the metal. I think maybe they were the game in midweek took a little bit out of them, but Milan played so well, such a mature performance for them. Again, still no Zlatan for Milan. It doesn't matter when you've got Tonali in the middle of the park spreading balls around like that, when you've got Rafael Leao living up to his immense gifts, when you defend so well, Simon Kjær coming back into the team alongside Tomori. They look accomplished. At the end, it got a little bit scary because, you see the final score and you see 3-2, but you're talking about two late goals, one of them deep in injury time. Kind of freak goals, I think, as well. Certainly one of the two. But it's a big win. They're just 2 points behind Napoli, and they're completely buzzing.
That's been a fantastic start to the season for them. Obviously, a good start to Roma. Hit a big bump, didn't they, after that defeat against Lazio last weekend. Back to winning ways, though, today, Gab.
Yeah, it certainly helps to have your skipper back, Lorenzo Pellegrini, fresh off signing a new deal. It's going to keep him at the club. So important for Roma, culturally for their fans, to have a Roman-born, bread-and-buttered guy in the team for so many years. It was Totti and then De Rossi, before them Bruno Conti. Now here we have Pellegrini, and they got this 2-0 win over Empoli, smile returning to Mourinho's face after he was so grumpy following their defeat in the derby. And they're up there in fourth place. Now, will they be there at the end of the season? I don't know, but they certainly have the enthusiasm. They have the momentum, and it's important for them to get points in the bag going forward. I think it's going to be quite a battle for top four.
A massive weekend in Italy, a massive weekend really right across the board. So much to talk about. And Gab, of course, will be breaking it down on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which drops on Monday.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
PSG then, with no shots on target. Zero. Zilch.
Unacceptable.
Incredible, considering the attacking power that was on the pitch. Gab Marcotti with us. Jules, of course, we know is at his sister's wedding this weekend. Gab, he'd be more than happy that you missed that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, after the highs of beating Manchester City in the Champions League, you come back into it like this against an opponent like Rennes, who we have to give them credit. They played well. They were up to it, but they kind of figured out the obvious, that when those three guys are on the pitch, Neymar, Mbappe, and Lionel Messi, if you outwork them in midfield, if you cut off their supply to them, and on top of that, they also display the sort of finishing that we saw in the first half from Neymar and Mbappe, then you're in the game. And I think this is something that Pochettino needs to address. Mentally, it looked like some of these guys simply weren't there. Defensive errors as well. The defensive errors maybe don't matter as much if you're scoring 3-4 goals a game, but they're not doing that because they were unable to get the ball to the front three, and we didn't see too much effort other than Mbappe in the second half, I think, as well, from the front three. So this is something for Pochettino to consider, and that said, he could go back and say, hey, we won 8 in a row before this one. Why are you busting my chops for it?
How do you address it, Stevie?
Considering the talent that PSG have, the only way that you can get results against a team like Rennes and not get a shot on goal, I can only believe it's down to attitude.
Right.
Before you start the game. Because every game they have, particularly away from home, is a big occasion for the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that when the game starts, the opposition are going to be snorting like bulls to get after you and make it difficult for you. Because if they don't make it difficult for you, you've got too much talent. And so, in every single game, regardless of who you are, you have to win the right to play first.
Right.
And the longer it takes you, the harder it gets. It can only be down to an attitude.
Quite something, isn't it, going into the international break. PSG still sit top of the table, as Gab mentioned, of course, winning every single match. Leading up to today's feat, they remain 6 points clear of Lens in second.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. What a brilliant weekend, Steve. You're right across the board. Surprises, action, brilliant goals.
Oh, you clearly loved it.
I did. Well, sorry for being no excited. Kind of, oh, why even bother? I'll tell you what, extra time's next if you can be bothered.
Yeah.
Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Stevie with me in the studio. Craig with us as well, as is Nadim. Why is Craig smiling like that?
No idea.
I tell you what it is. You know what our conversation was? Me and Nickel on the golf course the other day.
No.
Because he's on his own at home at the moment.
Yeah.
And we were walking up the ninth. I was laughing because I was thinking about it. We were walking up the ninth fairway and he said to me, "Do you know what? I just kind of get these fried eggs right."
I did as well.
He says, I can't. I like the yolk soft. I like the yolk soft so as I can dip my bread and my toast in. And I just kind of get the fried eggs right. And I went, how difficult can fried eggs be?
Stevie, what, you're 59 years of age. You thought you mastered a fried egg.
Well, do you know the hardest part?
I don't.
It's when you break it and then put it in.
Right.
And then it breaks, and I'm like, oh no, I've broken it already. So that sits knackered.
How do you break it already? Were you throwing it? What sort of height are you throwing it from?
Yeah, he's hitting it too hard. You've got to be gentle with it.
It's not my strong point.
Oh my God, there you go.
So that was the ninth fair. We were walking up. He's gone.
Beautiful. I love it.
It was the end of the world. He went, just can't get these eggs right.
My sausages are fantastic.
Nadim, how's your fried egg game?
Brilliant.
It's very, very basic. I'm a scrambled guy, to be honest.
That's just the easy way out.
Do you know what he said then? Do you know what he says? It's not only getting the yolk right, because he says, the trouble is, he says, it's a balancing act, because I've got the sausages toast and the tea.
Wow.
And
like,
well, it's not easy, because when Eleanor does it, right?
Yes.
Everything just magically is ready completely at the one time.
Okay.
But let's get
on with this. Away from Stevie's egg issues, we've had a lot of tweets similar to this. Where does Salah stand in the conversation of the current best forwards? Wow. Okay, so let's play a playground game. Right. Yeah. Who are we picking? Who are you picking first in the world on form at the moment?
Salah.
Over Messi, over Benzema, over Lewandowski, over everyone. You're picking Mo Salah first in your team.
So I think the only one right now, the argument would it be Lewandowski over Salah?
Okay.
Oh no, you got Haaland as well, didn't you?
Oh no, this is worse than the eggs.
It's not easy.
I'll leave you think, yeah? Nadim, who are you picking for Nadim FC?
It's a great question because he said forwards. He didn't say like nines or anything. So yeah. Salah, as a wide man right now, is the best. So he's going straight in.
Yeah. Craig?
Eggs.
Poached.
If I had to win a game with a ball dropping in the box now, I would pick Lewandowski.
Right. Lewandowski over Salah. Stevie?
I don't think there's an obvious answer.
Well, no, that's why it's a...
Eggs.
OK. All right. I feel like we're getting nowhere with this. Stevie, should Firmino have started today? He's the key to Liverpool's press, which is so good against City.
Well, I said on Friday that I thought he should start because Liverpool's possession would be better.
OK.
And I'm watching the first half of this game and I'm thinking, there's no way possible that it could be like this if Firmino was playing.
Why didn't he start? What's Klopp thinking?
Well, I'd also have to add that he hasn't, even when he has played, he hasn't particularly been at his best.
Right.
And when he came on in the second half, he gave the ball away a lot as well. He didn't do what we're accustomed or used to him doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest it's to do with form, why he never started.
Next question. It's still early in the season, but from what we've seen so far, going into this international break, which team is looking the favourites to win the Premier League? We actually talked about this on the show. Everybody said Manchester City. So with that in mind, who are going to push City the furthest? I suppose we're in a Liverpool or Chelsea. Is it that simple?
Yes.
And which team, in your opinion?
I think you've got to say Chelsea, because I think right now, between the two sides, Liverpool and Chelsea, defensively,
right,
Chelsea are in better form and better organised.
Nathan, Chelsea or Liverpool?
At this moment, I'm going to have to say Liverpool, because I'm seeing certain things with them on a week-to-week basis, which reminds me of when they won the league title two seasons ago. So I'm going to go for them.
Craig?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because it's funny how things change, and I think this is how this season's going to go. I'm sure two or three weeks ago, we sat in the studio and said, Chelsea look like the team to beat now.
Yep.
But the pendulum just has swung a little bit again, obviously, towards City. But I think it's going to be that kind of season. But I'm actually going to say, I'm surprised at this, but I'm going to say Liverpool at the moment, primarily because I think Mane's getting better and Salah's goals.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Liverpool.
Craig, would Conte be a good choice for United, since it sounds like he wants to get back into management in the Premier League?
No, I don't think so. Conte to me seems like a guy who is going to go in somewhere for 12 to 18 months, and he's going to ruffle feathers, he's going to fall out with people, he's going to demand money and whatnot, and that's his choice. But I think United need to look longer term, and I don't think he's a longer term manager, so no.
Next question, Nathan, what is behind the curtain?
Hey.
God, what's
I don't know, actually.
Go on, open it up, Nathan, let's see it.
Let's see.
Come on.
Oh, he looks a bit unsure.
I know, it looks a bit dodgy.
Hold on, I'm putting it. What is that?
So I'm 35 next month, and I get my professional footballer's pension. So I get to open this up.
Oh,
this is everything I've earned across all the years.
Look at that.
Looking forward to this.
Big time.
Wow, that's why is that? A nest egg there.
God, you wonder what else is hidden behind there.
Was it a window?
I don't know what it is. I think it is a window.
Never you mind.
There, would you, in the middle of it all?
He did look have a strange look on his face.
Well, it's just Nathan's always got a strange look on his face. That's standard, isn't it? Conte, Premier League?
100% with Craig.
Yeah?
Yep.
Stevie, do you think Real Madrid need better defenders more than they need Mbappe?
Oh, yes.
But they're not going to...
I mean, Militao and Nacho were horrendous today.
But people don't want defenders, do they?
Well, you want
Ancelotti
Mbappe.
Does.
Yeah, we Ancelotti definitely does.
I mean, I'm sorry. I don't understand where they're coming from with that sort of attitude, you know. You can't rely on scoring four every week
right.
and losing three to win a game.
That's what they want, isn't it?
They need a man that's never had a red card in his career and also never served a suspension in his career, but not one. Perfect. That's having six fried eggs a day.
I know. I saw that an extra time, you boasting about the fact you were never sent off. But there was no VAR, was there?
What do you mean boasting? All I said was I never get sent off.
Yeah, blowing your own trumpets. Typical Steve Nicholls.
Oh, sorry, I answered
showing
the question
off.
Correctly.
No, exactly. But there was no VAR. If there was VAR, you'd have got sent off.
Probably.
Yeah, exactly. Having to go poor Sergio Ramos. Yeah. No reason.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't need VAR. There wasn't VAR around, and he was...
He's off, we got him.
He was in the stand every fortnight.
Really,
he should have got paid part-time wages.
Yes, yeah.
Because he was like two games on and two games off.
Hey, I tell you what, I hear he does a good fried egg though, Sergio Ramos.
Well, does he?
Apparently, yeah.
Get me his number, I'll give him.
Has Neymar, Nathan, failed to develop as a player? It seems that his game has regressed after his debut season in Ligue 1. Watching him today was nothing like the player that left Barcelona.
So for clarity, I didn't watch today's game, so I can't do that comparison. Lazy. But that team in Barcelona was that front. Yeah, no, sorry. That team in Barcelona was special. That front line was incredible. And even though it seems like the potential for it is there at PSG, it's in a different league, different set of circumstances, different players around them. But Neymar still, you know, he's still Neymar, still incredibly dangerous. Are going to potentially end up being the top goal scorer in Brazilian football history. For the national team. So yeah, I don't know about that. I think he's still young enough to get better as well. So I'm not fully buying into that, but time will tell.
That is it. We're done. Thank you very much. That was from Steve Nicol, who's a technology guru.
I am, yes.
Yes, you are. Yeah. How overdue is your...
Fair enough.
I'm not going to mention it, but how many has he got?
He's got three.
Bye.
And one is at least 2 years.
Bye, everybody.
That is it. Bye. ESPN SE is back on your screens tomorrow. We'll be discussing, of course, a busy weekend. And starting just a little bit to turn our attention to some internationals, of course, which is coming up this week.